With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome everyone to this month's edition of the EvoStick Division 1 show, the monthly podcast dedicated to Division 1 North and South of the EvoStick Northern Premier League. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be having a mid-season review with Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian and James Hayes from Radcliffe Borough. So hello and welcome everyone to this, well, it's not really festive Division 1 show. For those people who listen to the EvoStick NPL show, you might know that Swampy returned this week. And that meant that our normal, we can do the NPL Division 1 show, no problem at all, in the same night we do the NPL show. That's gone out the window. So instead we're having to do this week's show on the hoof a bit. And as there's no managers available because it's New Year, well, you just got myself, James Hayes, and later in the show, we're also going to be joined by Andrew Simpson to discuss Division 1 South. But before that, it's time to welcome back a dear old friend, James Hayes of Radcliffe Borough fame. Hello, James, how's things?
How are you doing, Ben?
We do need to do a checkpoint, and this is a checkpoint. It's midway through the season, and in Division 1 North, up at the top at the moment, I do say at the moment because it's Thursday night and both Ossett Town and Lancaster City are in action this evening. Ossett Town are out in front at time of recording, James. Did anyone see this coming?
I'll be honest with you. If you go back to the start of the season, I don't think anyone would predict this at this moment. Ossett Town are doing superbly. They're making an advantage of the games that they've played against some of the teams lower down. But they're winning games, absolutely dominating matches. One of the unformed teams, and again, they're beating the teams that everyone thought, you know what, they're going to run away with the league. Can they keep it up, though, is a different matter, I think. Because again, in the next five or six games, they've got a lot of tougher teams, and they are the shot package at this moment in time.
Now, I have to say as well, I mean, last month we did have Grant back on, and normally that puts the skids on anyone's chances of doing well the following month. And Ossett Town, like you say, apart from that little hiccup against Drolsden, they've done well. I mean, that result against Farsley in the last outing, that was superb. Lancaster City at the moment, they're in second position with three games in hand, 3 points behind the league leaders, Ossett Town. Lancaster City are very much in the slipstream now of the league leaders and potentially could overtake them over the next couple of weeks or so.
See, they've built themselves ready for this season, Lancaster. From what I've seen of the teams coming to play at Radcliffe, they've been the most organised, the most prepared and the most significant team to be able to push forward. They've even sacrificed County Cups. They want promotion and they've shown themselves that they can do it.
And when we spoke to Phil Brown after that Darlington win, and they nearly beat Kidderminster as well, and they are a good side.
They are indeed. And like I say, I think it's just now the fact they've got rid of this clean image, I want to say, at this moment in time. The season where the division's been wide open, Lancaster have got the opportunity here to run away with it. They've got to go up this year, in my opinion, for what the effort they've put in so far.
Now, we should say as well, I mean, Ossett Town and Lancaster City, I don't think anyone would have predicted they'd be first and second coming in to the new year period. But Glossop North End, are they a surprise package this season? Because obviously they did it last year, but to do it twice is very good, I have to say. And when we speak about the pressures of being up at the top, Glossop North End have been here now before, and therefore, with the experience they've got in that side as well, with a few old FC United players in there, championship-winning FC United players, they've got a bit of bottle, I think.
They have indeed. I think it's a bit unfair to say they weren't prepared, they weren't going to be challenging for this season, because, again, they've, as you said before, they've got the experience and they've got the quality of the players to continue going forward. They did lose a lot of the team to Shaw Lane at the start of the season. I think that was where people were thinking, have they got half a chance? And looking at the fixtures they've got left, again, that's going to decide, that could potentially be, if you win all the games, you're going to win the league anyway. But they've got a lot of the tough games. You've got to play Lancaster twice yet. They've got to play Ossett Town, Brighouse, Clitheroe again. And they're not necessarily easy side. If anything, that's going to be that one absolutely hell is running for him. But going forward there, they've got opportunity to just to get the points under the table and get ready for that run later in the season. Personally, I think I said he would be challenging for the first, would be finishing in the top two in the prediction show. And again, I'm not going to go away from that.
Would you have predicted Trafford being fourth?
No, personally, that one definitely not. No. Trafford, again, fantastic season, especially where last year they settled down a little bit from after the relegation. But they're one of the on-form teams at the moment as well. And looking at who they've played, rightly so. Again, Colne, Farsley and Bamber Bridge are not easy places to go and play, and they've got the results.
And the thing with Trafford is, unlike Ossett Town and Glossop and Lancaster City, Lancaster City's form in the last 10 matches, it's a bit patchy, to be honest. Glossop North End, they've had 3 defeats in the last 10 games. Trafford are unbeaten over the same period.
They're not letting teams win at home, win at their ground, which again is a big advantage moving forward. They're getting the points where it matters, and that's why, again, why they're fourth in the playoffs at the moment. Again, can they stay there is a big ask, but with results that they've had, if they continue to force forward, who knows? I reckon they could just sneak in.
Now, the last time we spoke about Division 1 North, I think Scarborough are top of the league, but they played a lot of games more than everyone else. I think they had 5 games over a few sides. 6, yeah. I think, in Farsley's case. Scarborough, too, have come out of this period now in 5th position with only a couple of games played more than anyone else around them. I think Steve Kitchick would have took that. They're in the playoff positions coming out of the festive period, and it gives them a good platform to build on for the second half of the season at Scarborough.
Where the results count at the moment, the one big one from the last month, the 8-0 win away at Mosley, that just proves that what the capability they've got. But they've dropped silly points, and I think it's because of the young team that they've got building at this moment in time, and maybe the expectations are ready to go back to Scarborough next year.
Is the Radcliffe Borough defeat a silly defeat, James?
On paper, I'd say it's hard to ignore that result there and the Colne result straight after.
Clitheroe just outside the playoff positions at time of recording. They're in 6th position, 1 point behind Scarborough. And Clitheroe are an odd one for me, because I always assumed that they were just going to be mid-table this season, but they've been really competitive, haven't they?
Yeah, Clitheroe are like the Russia Olympic of the First Division North, if in the right way. They're a team that have got the capability, and they've got such a fantastic strike force. Whenever they go and play anyone, you know they are going to score. They're one of the top goal scorers in the league for that reason alone. The next couple of games will prove, again, have they got capabilities. They've got Farsley on the 14th of January. But you want to say two winnable games over the rest of the Christmas period.
Sure, sure. Shall we mention Farsley now then?
Yeah, sure.
So Farsley obviously have been ridiculous in cup competitions this season, and as a result of that, they've only played 19 games. On Thursday, when we record this, they've had another match postponed against Gould due to frost. Oh, it's the old adage, isn't it? Points on the board or games in the bag. It's a difficult one. But Farsley Celtic cannot be ruled out, and especially given the results they've had this season in the league and in cup competitions, just from these 20-odd games they've played.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the last couple of weeks, I think that the cup angle has got to them a little bit there. Mid-table in the form guides at the moment. Lost to Ossett Town on Boxing Day, draw to Ossett Albion and lost to Trafford. Maybe it's just that little bit of expectation against them. But again, the games have got in hand. They will be up there and challenging. And I think that obviously they'll be one of the teams that will be going towards the end of the season, if not the last day, challenging the top two, top three places.
Now, at time of recording, Brighouse Town are still an outside bet. 8 points currently off league leaders Ossett Town. They have a game in hand over Ossett Town. They are an outside chance at the moment, but they, as we said, Brighouse Town and Ossett Town are playing this evening. Am I right to draw a line under Brighouse for title aspirations this season now?
Looking at the last few weeks, maybe for the title, but definitely not for the playoffs. I mean, you can see easily the top 13, top 14 teams there have a shot at the playoffs at this moment in time. But you look again, they've just had an horrendous November, December for them, especially with how they started the season. Again, it's good. They've got the team, and they're a team that focus a lot on bringing players from the counties leagues. But Brighouse definitely wouldn't rule them out at this moment in time. But they need to just start finding their feet a little bit more and stop drawing games.
Now, that then leads on to the playoff race. And obviously, the teams we've mentioned already are firmly in the playoff race. There's Colwyn Bay, there's Colne, there's Kendal Town, because they've got games in hand. Maybe Bamber Bridge, and I'm stretching it to bring in Tadcaster and Magdeburgh as outside bets for the playoff positions.
Well, Bamber Bridge have just obviously parted ways with
Mr. Crow
this week, and you've got to look at the other teams there. Colin Bay and Colin have got seasoned strikers in the team. That's got Scott Bacor, and Colin has just brought Sefton Gonzalez into the ranks. So then you definitely can't rule them two out. Moving on to Kendall, they're just dropping silly points left, right, and centre. It's hard to see what they can do, but they've got the games in hand. When they're another team that over the winter tend to lose games for the weather. Tadcaster, they've just seemed to have come off the ball since, because obviously a couple of weeks ago they were well up there in the title race, and it just seems now they've just settled down a little bit too much, and maybe it's gone against them. Whereas Ratlesborough, well, we are Ratlesborough. We're in the heights of 14th at Christmas. We don't know what's going to happen. That's all I'm going to say with that one. I'm not going to go too much into that one.
And do you reckon that's it? Rami can't do anything, I don't think, from back there. They do have games in hand, but and they are capable, as they proved in the cup competitions this year.
They are capable of doing it, but when they played us on Boxing Day, they have been known to make silly errors at the back, and that's where it's cost them a couple of times this season.
Now, let's talk about the unfortunate positions of the relegation zone at the moment. We'll come to Goole in a second. Bursko, they've had a couple of good results in the last 10, literally two wins out of 10. But it's not enough at the minute, is it, for Bursko?
No. I mean, they do show effort. They played Rackley, beat Rackley for one of them two wins, and they looked fantastic. They played us off the park. They looked like a team that could get out of the relegation zone. But it's hard. Them performances don't seem to be coming often enough. Say, I'm not writing them off just yet, but it's looking like it could end up that way. They are going to finish unless something miraculous happens in the next couple of weeks.
But let's put it this way. I think last month, Goole were nearly in the same position as Bursko. They're a similar points difference anyway to safety. And Goole have clawed it back somewhat. They're still getting beaten, but they are picking up results and getting the odd draw here or there as well, and the odd win. And they've managed to close the gap to the rest of the league. They're now 3 points from Prescott Cables and safety. They're 4 points to Ossett Albion, and they're 5 points to Hyde United. So it's possible now for Goole.
It is indeed. I mean, this is where it's getting interesting with the relegation in Division 1 North at the moment, because the teams in that, like the bottom, if we take out Prescott at the moment, like the bottom four, bottom five, are getting results against the teams higher up in the league, and this is where it's going to make a lot of the difference, because you can't rule out bringing, say, the likes of Radcliffe, Tadcaster, Ramsbottom into the relegation fight because of what's going on at the moment. I'm just going to focus on Prescott Cables here for a second, because some of the results they've had recently have just been amazing against 4-2 defeat to Ramsbottom, 2-0 defeat to Scarborough, and again, that's not a bad result compared to where at the moment.
But they beat Bamber Bridge 5-1.
Exactly, and then again, a good result against Tadcaster as well. So it's unpredictable what can happen down the bottom end.
Just to end on a positive note, I think last month we had this big in depth chat about Mosley and the problems they were facing at the time. And Mosley have done all right in the last 4 weeks or so since that show, and you know the situation's improved. So it can happen in a blink of an eye. To be fair,
yeah, I mean they have had a bit of a horrendous injury crisis up there at this moment in time. And personally, I'm kind of glad the weather's called the game off tonight, because we've got a bad record against Mosley as it is anyway. But I was quite scared of what they've achieved recently. They can play very good football, and they know how to do it on the day.
Well, James Hayes, on that note, that is the end of the Division 1 North section of this month's Evo Stick Division 1 show. A big thank you for joining us on this week's show. A very short notice as well, we should say, dear listener, as well. He's come on well prepared, well prepped, very knowledgeable about Division 1 North. And, well, James, on behalf of all the listeners, we hope you've had a lovely Christmas, and we hope you have a very prosperous new year. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, Ben. No problem.
So, enough about Division 1 North. It's now time to draw our eyes south of... What is south nowadays? It's like south of Stockport, I think, pretty much. Anyway, joining me now south of Stockport in the Mid-Cheshire area, from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, we're now joined by the welcome return, it's a happy Christmas, to Andrew Simpson. Hello, Andy. How's things?
I'm all right, thank you. It comes to something when we consider Southerners in Mid-Cheshire, though.
I know.
That's the way it is.
So it's time for a mid-season review, essentially, of Division 1 South. No surprises who's top at the moment. Charlane have been superb all season. I think the most surprising thing about Charlane is the top having played only 19 games.
Yeah, indeed. Although that's probably kind of ominous for the rest of the division, because if they do pick up points in the games in hand that they have on pretty much everybody, then there will be daylight between them and the chasing pack, which at the moment, that's not quite appeared, because gallantly Spalding and most recently Newcastle, until they had a little blip, have kept pace with them, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. Yeah, surely it won't surprise anybody. They're in great form, unbeaten in the past 9 games, of which they've won 8. There may be a slight glimmer of hope in the last week or so. Certainly since the drama with the FA Trophy appeal, they have dipped ever so slightly. I mean, they had a 1-1 draw with Rushden, which you'd say is not a terrible result. And then against Kidsgrove on Boxing Day, they were behind for a long time and scored 2 goals in the final quarter of an hour to get the job done. They will argue, well, we got the job done. But I just don't know if that gives people a little bit of hope. And as we record this, they've due to play a very much informed Sheffield away on Friday night. So it'd be quite interesting to see the outcome of that. I might be doing a bit of festive straw clutching here, but we need some hope, don't we? That they're not going to disappear and make it a one horse race. But no, fair play to them. They've kind of picked themselves up after the disappointment of not being promoted through the playoffs last season, and have cracked on with the title challenge this season, and rightfully are leading the way at the moment.
Now, it's difficult. When we did the Division 1 North bit about 10 minutes ago, we were talking about these sides who could potentially put a title run together. And then we spoke about the teams in 13th and 14th who were going to go for the playoffs. It's a bit different in Division 1 South, because Charlane, they are dominant, and it depends on what happens with their games in hand. But behind them, there is a posse of teams, and we'll come to Witton Albion in a second, obviously. But you've got the likes of Spalding, Newcastle Town, Leek Town, and can't rule out AFC Rushden Diamonds, can you?
Spalding, you know, they will hope. They've had their bump in the road, because they had that little blip where they lost 4 games in a 5-game run, and you thought, oh, what's going on here? But they've since sorted things out, and they've now won the past 4, which is what has propelled them above Newcastle in the table. So at the moment, they look the most likely challenge. So like I say, we will touch on Witten in a minute. I mean, Spalding's ambition, without any shadow of a doubt, and certainly with the appointment of Dave Freckerton, was to be contending for promotion through the playoffs, if it was indeed that Charlane did what most people expect them to do and win it, and Spalding wanted to be in that mix underneath. So far it's job done, and if they have had their kind of bad run, this cliche that we use in football, then they'll be feeling pretty good. They've got a tough game on Monday, though, against Stamford, a derby, and Stamford aren't doing great, but it's always always a close game between those two. That'll be interesting. Newcastle, it's their turn to have a little bit of a bump, a little bit of a concerning run. They've only won 1 of the past 5, and trigger for that seems to have been that really shock result that they had at Rugby. Do you remember when they lost 2-0 at Rugby?
Yes.
Their form suggests that they've never really quite recovered from that. They also then had the blow of losing to Leek in the derby on Boxing Day, and another slight cause for concern for them is that they've lost 7 matches now, which is more than anybody else who you would consider to be in that battle for the playoffs. So there's a little bit of concern there for Scott Dundas. I still think they're contenders, and obviously he was on the show a few weeks ago in very, very bullish, confident mood. But they will want to get back to winning ways pretty quickly, and how they respond to losing such an important game against their close rivals, Leek. Lots of the players know each other in those two teams as well. They're at home to Romulus on Monday, so it's one they would expect to win, and then they've got Stocksbridge away. So we'll see. In the next week, we'll see if they can kind of come out the other side of this little worrying run that they're on. Just to touch on the other two teams then that are currently in the top 5, two teams who I would expect to have been in the top 5 at the start of the season, but they seem to have taken an age to get there, albeit for slightly different reasons. Leek are finally on a really good run of form. They've won the past 4, really buoyed by obviously that Boxing Day win against Newcastle. Tricky week ahead for them as well. They've got another derby against Kidsgrove on Monday, which again on paper they should win, but derbies as I saw on Boxing Day in Northwich, don't always go to form. And then they've got in-form Sheffield next week. So if they can come through that with 4 or 6 points, then they will be in a great position to consolidate in the top five. And like I say, I expected them to be there at the start of the season, but they've taken their time to kind of emerge and break into it. Rushden, I mean...
They're amazing. They're amazing, aren't
exactly,
they?
Yeah, they are amazing. 18 games unbeaten. They've lost the first two games of the season and have not lost since. The only concern for them, and it's probably only a small one, is they've drawn too many games. That may stop them from challenging for the title, but I don't think they would rule that out at the moment. How can you if you've only lost, lost two games?
Do you remember when FC United won the NPL Premier a couple of seasons back? And the start that they had to that season where they drew about six of the first 10 matches. It looked like at Christmas FC weren't going to do it. But because they didn't lose those matches, those single points became quite handy towards the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, if you're going to identify teams that if anyone's going to finish above Shore Lane, I think... Rushden have got to be in that conversation, and again we'll come on to them as well as Witten. I think they're the two most teams likely to knock Shore Lane off top spot with respect to everybody else, and so that's the key for Rushden, to turn some more of these draws into wins. But they've got themselves in a great position. They don't concede many goals. Great point away to Shore Lane. I think that also is proof that they are to be taken seriously, so let's see how they do in the second half of the season. But they've got themselves in a great position, and I do expect them to be in the top three by the end.
Now, that's the top five at the moment. Sheffield have been superb. They have really been superb.
Brilliant.
In fact, they've come on the show. They were on Evo Stick Extra a few weeks ago, and that's not even stopped them. They've been really, really good, very effective. It feels like something's clicked at last at Sheffield after years of languishing in mid to lower table of Division One. It feels like something's clicked now, and there's something to build upon here.
I think so. I mean, they probably won't thank us if I say that, you know, they're now contenders for the players. I think they genuinely wanted to go under the radar. And when the manager was on, he said, not too sure where to pitch our ambitions this season. Obviously, they got off to a slow start. We're a little bit worried about that. Certainly put that behind them now. And I suppose they are kind of under no pressure because we don't maybe expect them to finish in the top five. So they can continue this run. They can continue to upset people. I mean, they're unbeaten in 12 games. Only Rushden have got a better run than that at the moment. I think we're going to find out a lot about their strength, though, in the next 7 days. And we touched on it earlier. They're playing Shore Lane tonight if the weather doesn't intervene. Stocksbridge on Monday, local derby at home. And then Leek away next Saturday. Let's see how they're doing those three games. If they come through those two games with an half-decent points haul, they are definitely to be considered in the conversation. But that's going to test kind of their progress, if you like, and to see whether they can last the distance. Obviously, it's worth mentioning as well, they've played more games than everybody else. So if it kind of averages out when people play their games in hand, they'll slip slightly. But yeah, they still deserve enormous praise because they've got themselves in a great position.
And Baseford United as well are certainly in the mix.
Yeah.
At the time of recording, same number of points as AFC Rushden Diamonds. Admittedly, they played three games more than Rushden Diamonds. But again, another ambitious club like Spalding, like Leek, like Rushden Diamonds, like Shore Lane, they fancy their chances in the division above.
And so they should. I mean, they reached the playoffs last season, don't forget, as well. And also don't forget that their points tally will be slightly higher. They've had 3 points deducted for fielding ineligible players. So they would actually be in the top five at the moment. They put a really good run together, only lost one of the past 10. And I would absolutely consider them to be contenders for a top five position. Like I say, I think the top three are a lock. But then they're in that mix underneath that to reach the playoffs for the second season running. And I listened really interestingly to the interview with Martin Carruthers that you had a few weeks ago. And he was really confident. He feels that they've made signings that have made them better, and that's been borne out in results. And so they are definitely a team to keep an eye on.
Now then, speaking of teams to keep an eye on, Witten Albion. They're eighth, but they're not eighth because they've had a terrible run of form. They've only been beaten twice all season. They're eighth because they played 15 games, which for context is 10 less than Sheffield, who are 3 points up the road in sixth position. It's a remarkable set of circumstances for Witten where they are at the moment. It's the old adage, points on the board, games in the bag, that kind of thing. But are Witten concerned about this? Because they've got to cram in now a lot of games.
Yeah, the short answer is yes, very concerned, or certainly the manager is. I put this to him this week. We had a chat about that this week, and he even used the word nightmare at one point. So he's very much concerned about it. I mean, I've had a look. I've not had all their games in hand rearranged yet, so they've not all been slotted in. As it stands, there is a little bit of room in the calendar to put games in on the Tuesday. So if like the fixture list was panned out now, they would have Saturday and Tuesday pretty much till the end of the season. But my point being is, if we do continue to have problems with the weather, you're already going into January going to start have a situation where games are going to start getting slotted in for three games a week. That's a massive, massive concern for Witten, because their squad is small. They've got some decisions to make now. There is a little bit of money available to strengthen the squad because of the FA Trophy run they've been on. Chairman is on record, Mark Harris on record, saying that Carl McCauley can have some of that. He's always been, what's the word? He's quite cautious in the transfer market, Carl, because he's put this group together very carefully. And in terms of kind of their characters and their spirit, they mesh really well. And he's always really wary of when he introduces a new person to it, that they fit very, very snugly into the group. It's his preference to run with a small squad. It's always been his way at his previous clubs as well. So he's kind of now got a different challenge than he's had before. They're in no way playing down their ambitions or anything like that, by the way. They're absolutely his objective promotion. But he's got to decide how he tackles this. Does he run with a larger squad, use that money to bring in players and use that dreadful word, which Roy doesn't like, of rotating squad in non-league? But he may have no option but to do that. Or does he, and this was kind of where he was leaning when I put it to him this week, does he kind of say, right, we're banning looking at the league table, we're banning looking at anything, we can only make sure we win the next game. That horrible cliche of, if we do this one game at a time, we might not feel as knackered. I think his point was, if they look at the fixtures and go, oh my God, they've got 20-odd games, that might be quite daunting in itself. How do you manage that? I have no idea. How can you stop people looking at league tables? You know, people like me write about it and ask him about it all the time. So I don't know. He's at a bit of a crossroads where he's got to decide how he attacks it. I mentioned that there's three teams I think are realistically can win the title. I still think Witten are one of them on the evidence I've seen so far, and Rushton and Shaw Lane are the other two. I mean, just to round off, if we're talking about potential contenders for the top five, Stocksbridge, I think, should still be considered. They continue to prove that they can cause trouble to the teams above them, I think. And again, we've heard from their manager a couple of times this season. I think he feels they've got a good side there. So I think they're still in the conversation. And despite they've lost the past two, I still think Lincoln should be considered as contenders. They like Witten. I mean, they were in the similar position to Witten a few weeks ago. I mean, it's pretty bad now. Lincoln have played 19, so even they've even they've surpassed Witten in the games that they've played. Like I said, they've had a little bit by losing to one of the defeats against Rushton, and then they lost very unluckily actually against Spalding on Boxing Day through an own goal. But I still think they've got the quality and they've got the experience because they did it last season. If you were looking for one, another side to throw into the mix, I think it's them. Other than that, I know Belper and Chasetown are in the top 10 at the moment. I don't think they've got the quality to do it from what I've seen. But yeah, so I think Stocksbridge and Lincoln are definitely in with a chance as well.
Now, lower end of the table. Dreaded lower end of the table. Unlike in Division 1 North, where one of the places is nearly filled, unfortunately, it's a bit more open in Division 1 South. You can see potential. Admittedly, the Upper Dynamo, who are currently bottom of the league, have played a lot more games than everyone else around them. But they're still in touching distance of the likes of Carlton. And they're not too far away. They are far away, but not too far away from Market Drayton Town.
No, they're not adrift. Obviously, they've made a managerial change. They've brought in Peter Ward and Andy Kinsey, who are best known for their work at Kids Group this week. Didn't get off to a great start last night when they lost to Bedworth, unfortunately. So they'll need a little bit of time to adjust. But yeah, you're right. The good thing is they're not adrift like first in Division 1 North, so that should give them some hope. But they're just conceding far too many goals. I mean, I've seen them at Witten earlier this season, and that was blatantly obvious where their problem was. They've not arrested it since. They were beaten heavily that day. So they've very much got a fight on their hands. Rugby have reason to feel a little bit better about themselves. They've picked up a couple of wins. I mentioned earlier that, and the spark for that does seem to have been that win against Newcastle. They have lost since, but they have picked up another really good win against Leake, and obviously won most recently against Bedworth, and that's now put them in touch with everybody. But I think it surprised us all that they were in the bottom two anyway, didn't it? So they will argue, well, we're going to start showing what our real strength is. We're not really a relegation contender, and the evidence for that is starting to gather. Carlton just above them. Again, I mean, they'd had a really good run before losing to Basford in their last match. And again, that was only a narrow 2-1 defeat. But they put a good little run together of five games unbeaten. They've made quite a few signings. It strengthened their attack. And they will feel that they are well equipped as well to get themselves away from it. So even though there's a little bit of a gap to Market Drayton at the moment, I think there's a worry that teams could get dragged into that, Market Drayton being one of them, if they're not careful. Gresley are on a slide at the moment as well that they probably should be slightly concerned about. I know they've got 25 points, but they are on a pretty terrible run of form at the moment. They stopped the rock partly by drawing with Loughborough on Boxing Day, but had lost the previous five before that. So they're a little bit of a concern. And we have to put into the mix as well. Yeah. Northwich, currently 17th, but we are expecting them to have a 10-point deduction for entry and administration. They're still in administration as we record this. That would currently put them bottom of the table. To bring everybody up to date, they have appointed former Colwyn Bay manager Paul Moore since Adam Lakeland resigned shortly before Christmas. His first game is a reason for great optimism. They got a great point against Witton Albion on Boxing Day, a deserved point, by the way, and they were only denied a victory by Albion scoring in injury time at the end of the game. So he's been given great heart by what he saw there. The test now is how they follow that up. I mean, they're due to play Romulus tonight as we record this. Obviously, a derby does bring out, you know, people do raise their games for Derby. Norfolk certainly did that. They wanted to impress the new manager. All those factors are involved. So we'll see how Norfolk follow that up against Romulus. And they've got a really tough game against Shore Lane on Monday, weather permitting as well. So certain baptisms of fire for Paul Moore to have a derby and then a visit from Shore Lane in his first week in charge. But he's come in and he's been very honest in the first statements that he's made, that he very much considers this a battle for survival for Northwich. They are in a relegation battle once the points come off, and that is their aim. We have to make sure we don't finish in the bottom two. So yes, I think there's probably four or five, six maybe, if you do want to throw Gresley and teams that are in this mix. And Stamford are down there at the moment, but I mean, they are a better side than their league position suggests, but they do need to turn that into results, to be fair. I think they will. So I think they will pull it a little bit more up the table, but I think their chances of making the top five have gone, sadly. I think they're a team where their cup runs have finished their season, which is a real shame. So yeah, I think it's going to be quite interesting. I think we've got, like I say, five or six teams who are in that battle down there for two places. I definitely don't think you could write Loughborough just yet, particularly with the experience of Peter Ward. I mean, it's whether he can get the players in to turn their fortunes around. I'd be most worried about them of all the teams that I've mentioned.
Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Thank you for all your effort, all your hard work and dedication over the last 12 months. Hope you had a lovely Christmas. All the best for New Year. Where's the best place to keep abreast of all the news stories? Take your place in that the heartland of non-league Mid-Cheshire.
Yes, northwichguardian.co.uk for the website, and on Twitter at @simo_on_sport. And I shall be back on duty, I think, at Market Drayton on Monday when Witten head down there. So, more fun and games in 2017, and Happy New Year to all the listeners as well, of course.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. A big thank you to both James and Andy for joining me on this month's show. EvoStick Extra returns in 2017 next week. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter, that's @NPLshow. But from everyone here on the EvoStick Division 1 show, wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick Division 1 side, make sure that you have fun. Happy New Year. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.